Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Barstool Big Cat, host of Pardon My Take, and voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
That's right, Barstool Big Cat, brought to you by Stella Blue Coffee. Get yours at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Portion of the proceeds goes to PauseChicago.com. Every Wednesday, 4 o'clock, we talk to Barstool Big Cat. Big Cat, how you feeling today?
I feel good. I want to just say thank you to my good friend, Tom Waddle, who texted me after I hit my big bet with UConn and didn't get a text from someone else in that room.
I texted Portnoy.
Oh, he cucked me pretty bad with his bet. I had the eyes to see in December.
Did you make any fancy purchases with the big win or no?
No, there's no fancy purchases to be made.
No.
We got the Masters.
Okay.
and congratulations. So you
thank you.
So you won 150K, yes?
Yes, I bet UConn. I saw UConn. I know ball. I saw UConn lose to Kansas in December, and I said, I think that team, they were out with, I think Castle wasn't playing in that game, and I was like, this team is still really good. And I was like, I'm going to bet them 14-1, and then they just obliterated everyone two tournaments in a row. It's pretty insane. And Monday night was a good night.
So then all of the 150 just goes back to either payoff bets that you lost or goes back into the coffer to bet on future plays. You don't like take out, you don't skim the top and get something fun.
No, it's just going to be, you know, a little bit more, get through the summer. It's going to be good. Keep me rolling.
For some bigger bets down the road.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Have you already placed a bet on UConn winning next year's tournament as well?
I did, 14-1 again. Just do it again. Really?
Is there any expectation that Hurley won't be back? Like, he's coming back.
No,
right?
He's back. Yeah, he's back. Because he's a Northeast guy. I also, what the Kentucky job is obviously the number one job probably in the country, but when you have two national championships sitting in your back pocket, why would you leave and then have to have a whole new, like, expectations from a fan base? You have two national championships. You get, like, a lifetime deal. You get you can go through some lean years, and people will stick with you. If you go to Kentucky and you do the same 4 years that Cal had at Kentucky the last 4 years, you're gone. Like, that's the craziest part about Cal. He was incredible for 10 years. He went to 4 out of 5 national or Final Fours. But the last 4 years that he had at Kentucky, any other coach gets fired.
It's true. I want to talk about coaching more about that in a little bit. I still want to stay on you. When did you, like, when did it become different, like, in the world of gambling for you, where, like, oh, winning 150 is cool, but it just goes back into the pot? Like, I still sweat out a $20 bet. Like, I'm still sweating out. I've got I could win like $100 if the Bulls hit their 39 win total. You are just like 150K. Okay, it's going to be more of a fun summer. When was the first bet when you're like, this is the big, my biggest bet, and now it just became a different level for you? Do you remember
it's
that
probably,
one?
Yeah, it's probably last like 3-4 years. I mean, I know that. People know I love to gamble, and I've been gambling my whole life, but it is, like, there's a responsibility of it, of, like, I'm not betting that 10 years ago, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have the financial capability to do that, so it goes up with the money you get, you know? It's all a gradual rise, so, and that was a big, I'm not going to say that wasn't a big bet, that was a big bet, it was a big win, so it was a very fun night, but yeah, it's been a gradual climb.
Did it?
You'll get to 200 someday, Sylvie. We don't unit shame. We don't unit shame. Everyone should bet within their mean. My means are a little bit bigger now.
Oh, yeah, look, and I'm not shamed. Like, I'm fine with my $20.
I am, and that's all that I am.
That's who I am.
I'm a $5 unit man. Hey, were you shamed at all by Dan Heron? Was it Dan Heron today who said?
Oh,
Word is Ohtani interpreter has been betting your mortal locks for years. Is that true?
Yeah.
That was a pretty nice sick burn from him, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm good friends with Dan, so I know it comes from a place of love, and he might not be wrong. So when we saw the news of Shohei's interpreter, yeah, he might have been, you know, watching Barstool Sports Advisors every week and being like, these guys know ball. I could have had a hand in that.
Has today been a really exciting day for you because of the progress made by the forensic accountants?
Oh, I told you.
I know how important it is to you.
A couple weeks ago, I was like, listen, I didn't even know a forensic accountant was a real job, but they got to be the coolest accountants out there. And I was like, I'm going to trust in them. And they cracked the case. They have it all. It's really, the whole story is insane, and I know people will always be suspicious that it was actually Shohei, but the forensic accountants feel like they did their job, and they got him on record faking that he was him calling the banks. He changed things in his phone so that he couldn't get alerts. Crazy, crazy story.
Yeah, is it?
I think Sylvie's still skeptical.
Is it weird that I'm still skeptical?
No, I think because it's normal to be skeptical about something like this, because you ask yourself, how could someone possibly steal this much money without the person realizing it? But I think it was Sylvie when you were on vacation, another one. I was in studio, and I was saying that, like, the more you read about Shohei's interpreter, the more it kind of became believable, because Shohei was in a country where no one spoke his language. This guy said he admitted that he was, you know, being a translator was 10% of his job, and the other 90% was basically being a family member to Shohei. So he was so ingrained in Shohei's life that it does become a little bit more believable when you realize that, like, Shohei's not able to just talk to anyone in the locker room or on the street, and this guy is probably the person he talks to most in his life. Not probably, definitely is. So the relationship is a little different than us, like, explaining it to someone and being like, oh, yeah, I'd be like a good friend. Like, that wouldn't happen to us, because you don't have anyone as close to you in your life as Shohei had to his interpreter the last few years.
Well, that guy's going to jail.
Yeah.
A couple of guys are getting fired, aren't they? Because I get it. You can have this really close relationship with your interpreter. But if your people, the stewards of your nearly billion-dollar empire, aren't watching this more closely for you, you got to go, don't you? Don't you have to leave?
Well, that was the other part. I think, you know, I think maybe Shohei has changed it in the last year or two, but for the longest time, I think his mom was running his finances. You can't fire your mom.
Yeah, you can.
You can't fire your mom.
Of course you can. If she's embezzling, you fire her.
He wasn't smart with the money. I mean, good news for Shohei. He's got a lot of it, and he's going to get a lot more. But the story is just crazy. I don't, like, it's just insane that it went on that long. And, you know, the $10 bet up to $160,000 bet, just a wide, wide range of action this guy was getting in on.
Maybe that's why he deferred all the money. He knew that
he was going to have to pay off some debts. I don't know.
Or that his interpreter was stealing the money.
Well, that part is the part where I side with you, Sylvie, and being skeptical. Is like, if I were to, you know, if someone was like, hey, you're signing a $700 million contract, I'd probably be like, hey, like a Labrador Retriever, give me my dinner in portions. I'm going to get sick if you give it to me all right now. So I kind of believe that part of it. I'm with you on that.
That is some fiscal responsibility for a guy who allegedly possibly could have a serious gambling problem. Those two things don't intersect, Big Cat.
But
hey, I got a gambling problem, but I'm fiscally responsible.
So keep it away from me.
Yeah.
Because I can't keep it away from me.
It's like not keeping ice cream in your house. If the ice cream's in my house, then I'm going to eat it. That's just, once it crosses the threshold into my house, the ice cream is good as eaten. So the only way to stop it is never bring the ice cream into your house.
I just think that this is all too a little convenient. You know, it's just him. This is, he did this, he disguised this, and it's just all him, nobody else. Clean, crime, nothing else, nothing to see here. Our megastar is still a megastar. Let's go play ball.
Okay, so you need more than just the forensic accountants. You don't believe the forensic accountants.
No, like, I'm cool with you believing in forensic accountants. I think it's a good thing. But I
do
think,
you believe? I'll ask you both. Do you believe in this day and age, in 2024, that you could actually get away with like sweeping something like this under the rug, whether it's Major League Baseball or it's Shohei or anybody else? I don't think you could do it these days.
Also a good point, because Waddle brings up a good point. There's a lot of conspiracy theories out there these days, and I always ask when someone says a conspiracy theory, how many people have to know and not say anything for it to actually be pulled off? Because you're right. If this is something they're sweeping under the rug, there are dozens of people in the MLB offices that know, and you're saying not one of them is going to say anything.
Right. And there will be law enforcement people. There will be people in a, you know, in some tangential way that are in the know, and you're just expecting everyone to be quiet? That seems...
And at the end of the day, the thing that's probably the most believable but is unfortunate to say is Shohei's probably not the smartest guy. And he did dumb things and trusted the wrong people. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably the most believable outcome here.
Let's see if Shohei retires and starts playing basketball for about a year and then comes back to baseball.
He's going to drive his kids to school first.
Right. Yeah. And then it just like Michael, right? Was the fake suspension, the under the rug suspension, but that's why he played baseball.
What do you guys think his password is to his gigantic $1 billion bank account? Is it baseball or is it cat or is it dog? Like, what is Shohei's password that if you crack the code,
and then
you can
Shohei
get have access to it?
Yeah, it's Mike Trout is my friend. Yeah.
All right, what did you make before we get into some Chicago stuff? What did you make of all the reminiscing over OJ today? And that's how we started the show.
It's rare that someone dies and it feels like everyone can just dunk on him, but that one definitely felt like everyone was going to get their dunks in. I did find it funny some people just being like trying to take the brave take of being like he was a murderer. It's like, okay, this is all right, great, you did that, but it was weirdly shocking just because he's someone that is so famous for so many different reasons. And I was a little shocked. I was just like, whoa, OJ. He died.
At any point in your life, did you think he was innocent?
I can't say I looked into the case that closely. I know there's some theories that like his son, maybe, I don't know. It's weird. I probably never thought that he was innocent, but I also, I don't know. He was ruled innocent. So it's like, you gotta at least like tip your cap to that. Good lawyers.
Did you ever meet him?
No, I did not meet him. We did have one chance. It was, I can't remember what the advertiser was. It was when he was in jail for the collectible stuff. And there was some advertiser that wanted PFT and I to pick him up from jail and do an interview in a van. And we were like, I don't think we want to do that. And it never got to like that next step, but I remember that idea being floated out there, and we both were like, I think we'll let someone else interview OJ as he's being picked up from jail.
That's interesting. Yeah. Who's the most, I don't know if despicable is the right way, what interview gave you the biggest kind of odd feeling having to do an interview along this kind of vein?
We interviewed Martin Shkreli. Remember the guy who, the pharma guy who jacked all the prices up? He was a weird guy. He went to jail. And then I've said it before, but I would say the one interview I wish I could maybe have back because I didn't read up as much as I probably should have was during COVID. We had Karl Malone on during The Last Dance. Oh. That was probably a mistake. Yeah, that was a mistake. Hand up. I don't know. I just never really read all the stories. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that was probably a mistake.
Yeah. You're like, Karl Malone, the mailman. We got the mailman on. And then you're the mailman was delivering some inappropriate packages.
Yeah, some bad mail.
Yeah. Some bad mail.
Yeah. That one was a mistake. But, you know, you make mistakes as long as you own up to it. What are you going to do?
Who's your money on? Masters started today. I know you've got some friends playing, whether it's Max Homa or it's Brooks Koepka. Who's your money on?
That the two guys I ride with, my boys Brooks, Max, and then Will Zalatoris is the guy I always ride with. So yeah, it's always hard to win a golf tournament. Like it's kind of throwing darts at a dartboard. But I just want it to be close on Sunday.
Will's having a good day. Will's tied for second place at 4 under par right now.
Okay, that's great. That's great news. That is great news. And
are you done having kids?
Yes. That's a personal question, but yes.
Okay, well, I'm going there somewhere with it. Because if you weren't...
What, are you going to sell one of your boys?
Well, you want me to help?
No.
You need another?
Hey, you watch your mouth there, because I'm done too. No. And there's no chance.
Yeah, but you're done, but maybe I'm not.
I said to the kids the other day, because Braxton's been on a kick, he's like, he doesn't want to be the youngest anymore, and he wants a baby.
I was a brother.
He wants a baby girl. He wants a girl.
He does.
Yes, yes. And I'm like, I'll tell you what, if mom gets pregnant, I'm leaving. I go, I'm out. I go, you guys will raise yourselves. I'm not staying. I'm leaving if there's a third. So anyway.
Three is a lot. Two to three. Like, I don't think I can give one back, but it's been floated.
I think the key to it is if you have them earlier, you really just don't know any
you
better.
You were 24 right. when you
so
had your
for
first.
For me, I had three by the time I was there. I didn't
50s.
Know anywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't know any better.
I still got 10 more years, you know, before they go to college. So anyway, my point is with the Scheffler story.
I thought you were going to ask him if he got snipped yet. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know
where you were. Have you gotten snipped?
No.
Would you?
Maybe.
For a price.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard some stories. I got a friend who had a story, so I don't know.
You could be the story. Like, again, you could be the restore guy. You could be Urlacher, except for
you get
getting
your
snipped on the billboard.
Reconnected.
Think about that.
Yeah, that could work. That could work.
Yeah.
Why don't you, this would be a cool thing. Have it snipped. And then, like, 3 months later, see if you can put it back together.
Restore.
Yeah, and let's see whether or not
how
you can.
How many times?
Yeah, how many times you can have it cut and then restored.
What if, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, but what if I just became the face of pulling out?
You could do that.
I don't know if that got dumped or not, but I could do that.
That's totally good. But there's no medical science to that, Big Cat.
Yeah, no, there is. There is science to that.
Mr. Irresponsible.
There is science to that.
Mr. Irresponsible.
Yeah, what if you get like a cramp and all of a sudden what you were intending to do, you couldn't execute the plan? You were stuck. Get snapped. Go ahead, get snapped and then get reattached.
Vetterman's just sweating with that button upstairs right now. Got his finger over.
He's in a meeting talking about something else.
And all this was about Scottie Scheffler. About
because
his wife is pregnant, and he said that even if he, I don't know if he prefaced it this way, but he said that he would leave the course if she goes into labor. Do you believe him? If he's got a lead on Saturday or on Sunday, and she goes into labor, do you believe he walks away?
I believe him just because I think that I don't think the baby's going to come. So I think he knows that, right?
What like if it's the baby first does? Child. Well, I know what if no, the baby but, does?
But it's their first child. I think it's a month away. So I think he's just playing the odds of, like, I can just say this and look awesome, and I don't have to worry about it. Now, if I were a competitor against Scheffler, and he's Saturday, you're second or third, I'm going Uber Eats, you know, the spiciest Thai food to his house.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, like, hey, you know, let's go for a walk, like all that stuff. You know, get that baby moving.
Put in a prank phone call.
I think you're right, Big Cat. That's easy to get points with everyone. If I didn't realize. I
was
thought,
it a month away? I thought it was like a week
it's
away.
A month away. It's a month away.
Yeah. I got to tell you guys, I'm going to take a stand here. Even if I'm playing well, if my wife goes into labor, I'm out of here.
She's 20 weeks pregnant.
Kick rocks.
It's a month away, and it's the first child, and I'm not a doctor, but I from my own anecdotal, like my first son, when he was born, my first child was born almost exactly on his due date. The other two, my daughter, my third child, my other son, they were born a month early. So if it was his second, I'd be like, oh, you might be risking. And I don't want to say, you know, put my hand up and be like I'm a hero, but my youngest is about to be one. I was in West Virginia when I got the call for a rough and rowdy. I got back on the plane, and I made it in time. So I'm actually a hero.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. You missed rough and rowdy for that.
Wow. Super,
I did. I still sang the anthem. Yeah. We taped the anthem, and then I got back on the plane, and I got there with like 30 minutes to go.
He didn't even drop everything.
No,
he's
he
like,
did not.
No. Let's tape
then
the
he
anthem.
Jumped then the anthem
I'll go.
And then he left.
Yeah, that's cool.
Had to do the anthem. Had to do the anthem.
You're
I knew
hero.
My,
You're
my
a hero.
Son. My son. One day, I'm going to get to show him the anthem. Like, this was the day you were born. Literally, you were born 3 hours after this anthem.
There was a conversation upstairs about actually being smarter about when you are having sex with your spouse. To plan it around big moments in your sports calendar. So, like, what were the Schefflers doing, knowing that potentially if they're
right in the middle of the tour season, yeah.
I got to go to Augusta and Mama may deliver.
What's the tournament in a month?
Yeah, but that's tough, though, because he's a golfer, so he's playing all summer. You don't want to have a baby during football season. You don't want to have a baby during March Madness. He's got no window.
This is like you with vacations.
Yeah.
You don't ever have time for him.
He's got no window there. Where's the window? You can't have a baby during football season.
I like Scotty Scheffler a lot, but the moment that you just told me that too, that he wasn't, his wife's not due for another month, I kind of lost a little bit for him.
Why is this a story?
He was grabbing the moral high ground. Look at me. I'm going to walk away even if I'm on the top of the leaderboard, and his wife's not even due for a month.
And on top of that, I don't know if the exact timeline is right, but I'm pretty sure Sam Burns, his friend, whose wife is also pregnant, who I think is due in like a week, he also said this, but I think he said it after Scotty, so he felt the pressure to say it. Scotty also has a green jacket.
Yeah.
Sam Burns doesn't. So now Sam Burns has to do that, and now he has to be a man of his word.
Making everyone else look bad. A couple of Bears topics that I want to throw at you before we let you go.
Okay.
Marvin Harrison Jr., this is a hot debate that we've had on because we've been so focused at number one that we haven't really talked about nine. So at nine, if the Bears could get Marvin Harrison Jr. by trading up number nine and like two of their early picks next year, like say they could get trade number nine and they have 2 second-round picks next year, the Panthers' second-round pick and their own second-round pick. Would you trade up for Marvin Harrison Jr.?
No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Because I think Ryan Poles is doing this the right way. This is not the Caleb Williams window is going to be 5 years. You can't go all in on year one. You have to keep some draft capital to keep getting younger and keep building. And not only that, but I think Neighbors and Adunze are just as capable. And I would rather Ryan Poles trade back and get more draft capital because this is the start of the runway. To go all in on the runway and be like, we don't have any, we have 4 picks this draft?
Four left.
Four. Yeah. So we're not exactly like, yes, we have 1 and 9, but it's not like we have a ton of picks later.
No.
So I think that if you can do it, and someone's desperate to get to 9, that's where you can replenish your picks. I would not go trade up and lose even more picks coming up. I would rather keep the picks knowing that this is the window. Let's keep building and, adding these pieces that will hopefully get us to the promised land in the next 2-3 years.
But you're not trading back if Adunze's there.
Probably not. But then it depends on what someone offers. You know what I mean? If someone gets desperate for 9 and you can pick up, a couple picks in this draft and maybe another pick next year, why not?
Okay.
Like, if you tell me that we trade 9 and we've now gone from 4 picks in this draft to, say, 6 or 7 and an additional pick next year, I'd be all in for that.
And then one more, Hard Knocks. I wrote about this today in a column. The Bears have been very against Hard Knocks. They're one of, I believe, 3 teams who could be forced into doing it. As a fan, if the league forced them to do it, would you welcome this, the Bears being on Hard Knocks?
I wouldn't really care because I'm Hard Knocks, I don't know about you guys, but like I used to love Hard Knocks. I think it's kind of because of media today, we get so much access to everything anyway, that when Hard Knocks first debuted, whatever it was, 20 years ago, it felt so novel and different and like, oh my God, we've never seen the inside of a training camp. Now we get all this stuff, like every team's doing something like Hard Knocks and showing us the inside peek. So I wouldn't really care who the other teams, because it sounds like we're going to get it then.
It's the Bears or two others, right? There's only three teams that are possibly in the hopper.
Is one of them the Saints? I think it's
a rule that you can't do a new coach.
And a playoff team.
And a playoff team. So, yeah, we're probably going to get hard knocks because everyone's going to want to talk about Caleb Williams. And it doesn't really bother me that much.
Bears, Broncos, Saints, the three potential.
Nobody wants to see the Broncos.
Nobody wants to see the Broncos.
Sean Payton, they could see that.
This team right now, they were the talk of the offseason. And they're going to build on that momentum with Caleb Williams. What's he like off the field? What's he like getting a beat? Possibly with the hype of being the first great Bears quarterback. Keenan Allen, after 11 years in L.A. and San Diego, coming to a new team. All the different intrigue with this Bears team. And don't forget, we got Simone Biles on this team now. So,
yep.
Like, there's so many great stories. Could they get a stadium deal done this summer with Kevin Warren behind the scenes? The Canton game, Mongo going in, Devin Hester giving you a tour around the Hall of Fame.
You're just saying it's going to happen. You just listed all the – it's happening.
I think this is going to be the highest-rated Hard Knocks if they would do it this offseason.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. So I think, you just laid it out. We should just get ready for it because it's going to happen.
Look, what is it all about? It's about entertainment, right? You just laid out that's a more compelling storyline over the course of several weeks, even than Sean Payton screaming at everybody in Denver or the Saints. Yeah. Who wants the Saints? Like, who cares about the Saints?
Right. Right.
The only thing that would stop it is if the Bears, like, they could potentially be like, we're not going to be, super agreeable, and they might, and the producers might be like, all right, let's find someone who's going to be more all in.
That's a fair point, but at the end of the day, the team itself has final say on what actually hits the screen.
Yes.
Right.
And then that's
right. So they could be like, we're going to make it very difficult for you, and they might get scared off from that.
That could be true.
They should focus on preparing themselves for the season and nothing more. And not worried about, like, I get it. Like, I think the league already gives the teams enough editorial control these last few years. So, like, they need to focus on getting off to a good start. Anyone who thinks that it's a distraction, last year the Bears got off to an 0-4 start. And they were outscored without cameras in the building something like 125-70. They were blown out by Tampa. They were blown out by Kansas City. They were blown out in the opener by the Packers, who had a new quarterback starting for them in their own backyard. Don't give me that cameras are going to distract them. They haven't beaten the Packers in 10 straight matchups without cameras in their own building. So don't tell me, like, cameras in their building is going to hurt the Bears. Embrace this, that people want to see who you are and be amenable to the fact that, hey, we're all of a sudden a team that everyone loves being the up-and-coming team, and let's go.
Well, add to this as well. They're already doing this stuff. They're just doing it in-house.
Right.
Right. So that's now, what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, counterpoint to everything you said, the Jets got hard knocks last year, and look what happened to their season. So
it's true. Just don't get hurt on the fourth play.
That's true. Don't get hurt on the fourth play.
That's right. All right, Big Cat. Did you win the putt-putt golf?
No. No, we still have the final round.
Is Jerry caddying for you? Is that what I heard?
Jerry's caddying.
Yeah,
Jerry's caddying for me.
Is he any good? Is he like? Is he Bones or is he? Is he Stevie?
It's been a roller coaster. Yeah. The one thing I would say, I love Jerry. He's had some holes where he knew exactly where to hit it. There's also been many times where I've stood over the putt and he just says right before I'm about to putt, "You have to make this." That doesn't really help with the nerves. It's entertaining.
And is Frank really that unhinged?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I should have him come in. I think he's going to be back in Chicago in a couple weeks.
Bring him in one time. Yes.
Yeah, we'll bring him in. Frank. No, he's very unhinged. Okay. Very unhinged. But in the best way.
All right. Big Cat, you're the best.
All right.
And congratulations.
Right, yes.
Congratulations on what?
Winning
150 grand.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did. Okay, yeah, that's right. Did. I do know ball.
Are you on the positive side of things on the ledger?
No! Okay. That was a bad... I won that bet, and I had a bad tournament.
And for tax purposes, he's losing.
Yeah, of course.
They know never to come to me for the taxes for any of these bets because I have a receipt that would go all the way down Lakeshore Drive being like, look at these losers.
It's like your 50-50 raffle ticket the length of that thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They know to stay away.
All right. See you, Big Cat.
See you, buddy.
All right. See you guys.
Barstool Big Cat again brought to you by Stella Blue Coffee. Again, get yours at StellaBlueCoffee.com, and a portion of the proceeds goes to Paws Chicago. We got Would You Rather today. Send us your Would You Rathers. Ooh. Yeah, brought to you by the Pride Store. Saw Mario today from the Pride Stores. They're awesome. So we've got Pride Stores. They bring it to you, and we've got Connie's Frozen Pizzas to give away. So best question using the hashtag WS Would You Rather. Send us your Would You Rather. It's a best either or question. Would you rather this or that?
And by the way, Mark Giangreco is going to join us at 5. Would you rather have Mark Giangreco at dinner at your house or?
You've got to come up with it.
Yeah.
Or who?
Well, I'm just saying, fill in the blank. That's an example of it.
Well, that would be an incomplete Would You Rather.
Or OJ.
Big Cat.
Or OJ.
Oh. How about would you rather have Gene Greco or Big Cat at your dinner table?
There you go.
So that's a good example.
I'm just glad to talk to Gene Greco.
Send it to Tyler Aki and Jeff Meller on Twitter and hashtag at WS Would You Rather. Waddle's World is next.
Thoroughbred Racing, the original sports betting is back at Hawthorne from 2-1 to 90-1. Hawthorne and Club Hawthorne betting bars have the best action every day on dozens of tracks from around the world. Find photos and locations at HawthorneBettingBars.com.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
I gotta say, I'm a fan of the less sporty stuff and stories, but today, like, there's a lot of sports-a-roo.
What do you got?
Well, first of all, the round one of the Masters is underway, and our resident golf expert, Tyler Aki, is here for a round one update.
All right, leading the pack right now, Bryson DeChambeau at 7-under. He's already in the clubhouse with a 65. Scottie Scheffler, though, just birdied. He's now 5-under. He's in sole possession of second place.
Didn't he just stick it tight on 16, too?
He did, and he had a chance at eagle. And he could have gotten even one shot even closer. Danny Willett is in third, and then tied for fourth, you've got Ryan Fox, Will Zalatoris, Matthew Fitzpatrick, as well as Matthew Pavon. Some other notable names on the leaderboard. Rory is currently tied for eighth.
Do you know that he hasn't won a major since 2014, Tyler?
Mm-hmm. It's been a while. Wyndham Clark, your U.S. Open champion, is 2-under. Victor Hovland, also 2-under. John Rahm, the defending Masters champion, is 1-under, as is Patrick Cantlay. Tiger Woods currently is even on the day. Phil Mickelson, 1-over.
What did you think Tiger was going to do? He was going to come out and blister the course with a 64?
You just told me he birdied his first hole.
Well, he did. I didn't say he birdied the next five as well. He bogeyed 3 or 4. I don't know if it was 3 or 4, but he bogeyed a hole. He's even par.
Xander Schauffele, 1-over, as is Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. And those are most of the notables. Oh, Jordan Spieth, 2-over, by the way. He's in day
he's got
one,
a potty mouth on the course, doesn't he?
He doubled the first, but I think he's been even par. He's only played 3 holes since then, but he doubled the first, and he's been even par since.
Last year of Vern Lundquist, part of the podcast, I believe.
Well, I think probably one of the most underrated broadcasters in the history of sports broadcasting.
I love him. He's one of my favorites of all time.
Right. And like a lot of people love him, but it's just when you list all the greatest announcers,
he doesn't get recognized.
Right.
Yeah. I agree with you. He was versatile, could do it all.
Do it all.
Yeah.
NCAA tournament, the golf. I mean, football he did. Didn't he do football for many years?
Oh, yeah. CBS.
College.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he was the NFL. He was an NFL guy too, wasn't he? Didn't Vern do NFL on CBS?
Don't we have a clip of Vern announcing a play that you made?
I don't know.
I believe we do.
Vern and I are both men.
They were playing either today or earlier in the week, the Tiger shot on 16.
When the ball, the logo.
Nike, it was the greatest because he let the pictures do the talking, and it was one of the greatest calls ever.
Doesn't he say at the end of it, yes, sir?
Oh, wow.
And Tyler's right. I found it. This is Vern calling Waddle's play here.
And the old bear is oblivious to what has just happened.
Yes. That's right.
Do you know what that's from, actually?
It's when you fell asleep in the locker room.
That's not true. That's when Jack was on the cusp of winning.
1986.
Yes, his Masters. And he was, 46 years old at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And the play around the course at the time, Jack had no idea what was going on for the best. I told you the story. The one time I went to the Masters, I swear to God, I had this irrational desire to climb the 16th tower just to say hi to Vern.
You should have.
I would have been tackled or shot trying to get up there. They have to hoist him up there in one of those like lamp.
I still don't know why that makes me giggle.
Yeah. Having to hoist Vern up.
Uh-huh.
Well, he ain't climbing up there. You know, like if you see like a telephone pole or something like that, one of those lights, guys fixing, you know, lights on the highway, you get him in one of those machines and lift Vern up there.
So does someone go with him just in case?
That I don't know. What an Augusta, Georgia construction worker has to ride up in the buggy with him?
Just to make sure,
I don't
know.
Otherwise, Vern could find himself in an out-of-control crane. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I would think after all these years, Vern can operate the crane all by himself, right?
It would be cool if they would zip-line him in from another tree or something.
It's actually Booger McFarlane who helps him up onto the...
That's a good point. Booger-mobile. Okay, you knew this headline at the very least was going to be presented to you at some point, right? Tom Brady says he's not opposed to a late season NFL return.
No, that does surprise me.
It does.
Now?
Tom Brady said he was retiring from football for good on February 1st of 2023, but he might be having second thoughts. An appearance on the Deep Cut podcast released Thursday. What's the Deep Cut podcast, Tyler? Any idea?
Let me look it up.
Okay. I thought that, you know, you hip guys may know what that is. Brady was asked by host Vic Blends.
It's a podcast hosted by Vic Blends.
Thanks, Mallor. If he would pick up the phone if a team called him in the event of an injury. Quote, I'm not opposed to it, Brady said. I don't know if they are going to let me if I become an owner of an NFL team. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they would let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I don't know if MJ came back like that, though. MJ...
Maybe Tom got his sports history wrong, but... I think that's just. I don't think there's any.
I mean, Jordan
validity.
Did come back. What was it, March?
Right, but
it was at the end of the NBA season, and he played into the playoffs.
He was still young, and then he came back for three more full seasons.
Am I stupid for suggesting? I think finally, yes, Tom Brady is done.
No, that's what I would say now.
Yeah, I mean, like
if he hasn't come back the last 2 years, right? It's been two, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was February 1st of 2023, so. Last year was last year, the first year without Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It feels like more.
It does.
And how's he going to come back if he's in the middle of his broadcasting career with Fox?
Again, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see him out there doing that. I think he's been capable of as much or more than anybody in the history of this game. And I think it's over. We haven't spoken a lot about the Shohei story. Maybe it's something that we can... continue to elaborate on.
I think we hit it with Big Cat.
The feds say Shohei's ex-interpreter stole $16 million over 2 years. I don't know.
So what do you think?
I'm still struggling with the thought that somebody would give somebody else the ability to manipulate one's... Like, he's not a guy with... a little bit of money. He's a guy with a ton of money. I just don't know how you could ever gain access to somebody's funds in the manner in which he was able to get.
But the thing is, as his interpreter, like when he went to banks, his interpreter would go with him. I actually saw, I think his last name is Kim. He was on the broadcast in Seoul when the season began, and he talked about how you have a very intimate relationship with a person if you're their interpreter. And it didn't surprise him that he could potentially have access, because you know, if you're speaking the language for them, you're going to have to like give pertinent information to like people who are like signing up for banking accounts and all that that goes on with it. So I don't think it's impossible.
When did his interpreter ever have time to interpret for him? He was making 25 bets per day. And he made how many bets over the course of that time?
Like about 19,000.
19,000 bets in all.
That's incredible.
Total winnings. He won $142 million worth of bets, but he lost $183 million worth of bets. And to have access, like somebody else is getting fired.
What was he? Do we know if he was gambling on baseball?
No. They said that there is evidence that he wasn't.
He was betting on
college soccer.
College soccer.
And amongst other things.
Yeah.
College soccer.
I don't even know how you could find college soccer.
I'm just telling you this. Somebody, he's going to jail, and I would assume several people on Shohei's payroll are getting their asses fired or already have been fired. You got a ton of money.
How do you ever trust someone again? Like, if that's someone who's as close to you as anybody in your life, how do you ever trust someone?
It's a good question.
If this is really what happened. And, like, I know a lot of people say, well, if you have that much money, it's not, like, maybe it's easy to just miss some money of that. Like, I think if you have that much money, if that money goes missing, you find out pretty quickly.
Of course. And money's still, even when you're rich, money's important to you.
Yes.
Hence the reason why he took a $700 million contract from the Dodgers. Because they offered the most money.
I don't care how much money you make. That's still, what, $4.5 million? Is that what it was?
Yes, but it was $16 million over the course of the entire scam.
Like you just
it doesn't
don't
seem like it's bothered him either so far. He's got three dings. He's hitting .333. He's got an on-base percentage of .377, a slug of .635. His OPS is 1,012, and his WAR is 0.7 so far through 15 games. Looks like he's doing okay.
It sounds like someone who bet on himself.
What's the limit? At what point does the bookie no longer allow the double or nothing? Because if you're $40 million in the hole, I have to believe the inclination to go, come on, double or nothing. Like, well, 40 versus 80, what does it matter?
There's a text that he sent back in 2022 that's a part of this FOIA. And he texts the bookie, "I'm terrible at this sports betting thing, huh? LOL. Any chance you can bump me again? As you know, you don't have to worry about me not paying."
But why? You're just an interpreter.
Yeah, he had
access to Ohtani's funds.
So did he let the bookie know that he had access to Ohtani's
funds?
That's what
I mean.
Well, this
that's
is
why it's I'm just skeptical. All seems no, no.
But this is where I think, if he's stealing money from Ohtani, this is where you could believe that the bookie thinks Ohtani is making the wagers, because Ipe is, he comes up with the law, you know, the losses when he has to pay at certain points. So he probably thinks he is a cover for Ohtani. But if he's stealing the money, you could see why both parties are in the dark about it.
This may turn out to be exactly what that's being advertised right now. I'm a little bit baffled by it still. All right, when we come back, can you meet the requirements or the threshold to ultimately become a member of the CIA? We'll see if you think you can do what is necessary to actually be eligible to join the CIA. That's for next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Envision yourself as an FBI or a CIA agent or even Secret Service. Is that a no?
That's a no.
You don't get to talk sports all day long if you're providing security for a senator.
Get out of here.
No, you never. It was never intriguing to you, or
I wouldn't be good at it.
Do you guys ever think about wanting to join the FBI or the CIA or the Secret Service?
I'm also a coward.
No.
I mean, come on. I mean, like, you think I ever want to battle or confront anybody?
I don't know. Maybe it was something you said, you know, hey, when I grow up, I want to be a Secret Service agent.
Those are for the tough guys.
I want to be an FBI agent. I want to be somebody that protects the United States.
I am an FBI agent, right?
Is that a no?
Keanu Reeves.
Mellor, you never had the urge, Tyler? No.
What about you?
My daughter's going to... I got to drive my daughter home today. She's going to stop by. She thought very long and hard about going into the FBI several years ago. She decided against it. One of her college soccer teammates is actually an FBI agent. She was going to go...
You're talking about Georgia,
yeah,
right? She'd be good at it.
Yes, she'd be fantastic at it, but she decided against it. Anyway, the CIA wants to hire super fit agents, but only if you can do this many sit-ups in a minute. CIA seeking candidates for an executive protective agent role. People must be patriotic, trustworthy, and most importantly, fit enough to complete
60.
27 sit-ups and 18 push-ups in just 1 minute.
Oh, so you have to do both in a minute?
Yes. Can you do that? You got to do them both. So you got to be able to do 27 sit-ups and then 18 push-ups in 1 minute.
Maybe. I don't know. Not now.
Position requires candidates to ace a grueling physical fitness test for selection plus an annual one to keep the role. Besides the sit-ups and push-ups, the test requires applicants to finish a mile-and-a-half run in under 15 minutes and 20 seconds. I think you could do that.
Yeah, that I could do.
A 30-meter dash in under 1 minute, 8 seconds, and a 180-pound dummy drag in under 20 in under 2 minutes.
What's the dummy drag?
It's a joke there, but I'm assuming it's just like a 180-pound bag of something. You've got to drag it
probably
a certain
a dummy.
Distance under... Two
not
minutes.
In a bag, probably a dummy.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, human form.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, like, you got to take something that's 180 pounds and be able to move it.
Dummy.
A dummy. So
take Waddle how far?
Right. It doesn't say how far. In addition to meeting the fitness guidelines, you have to be at least 18 years of age, a U.S. citizen willing to move to the Washington, D.C. area, registered for the Selective Service, and be able to complete security and medical evaluations. Full-time position offers candidates a salary of between $66,654 and $122,459, though a higher starting salary is possible depending on your experience level.
Who do you believe can accomplish this on our staff?
That can do 27 sit-ups and 18 push-ups in just 1 minute.
Yep, and then do the dummy drag. And then you said the mile-and-a-half run in 15 minutes.
On air?
So Carmen can do that.
I was just going to say Carmen, probably.
Black, probably.
What do you think would be Chris's biggest hurdle? Would it be the dummy drag of 180 pounds? Like, Abdallah's only like 140 pounds.
Yeah, Black can do the run in his sleep.
Yes.
I think he can do the push-ups and sit-ups. I think he 180. How far again with the
It doesn't say the distance.
You have
that
to do the dummy drag for what though? What is it?
You have to do it in under 2 minutes. However far you got to take it.
You know who could definitely do it? I think
Mellor can do it. Mellor can do this in his sleep.
What about Eric Ostrowski?
Yeah, I would think so.
Danny great would athlete. Tell you he could do it, but I don't know if he could
Danny
do
Danny
it.
Could, Danny couldn't. I don't think Danny can lift 180 pounds. Forget a dragging or 2 minutes. I don't think Danny can do 10 push-ups. He can do the sit-ups part.
What do you say we give this 3 months, 4 months maybe, and we try to do this? You want to put ourselves to the CIA fitness test? See if we can do it? I can't even walk up the ramp right now, so it's going to take me probably 2 or 3 more months to heal.
We're looking at July 11th. Are you guys busy on July 11th?
We should do this at Hallis Hall one day. When, okay. Like, We should do this on a day when there's a Sox game.
Okay. Let's get,
and
let's
we're
get,
in a Hallis.
Let's invite Peanut Tillman.
He's the FBI, not the CIA.
They cross over, right?
I don't think
like maybe on a day before the Bears report, like on a day where the Sox are playing.
The story and see.
Well, and maybe like we could have polls, like one of the Bears, maybe one of their trainers do this with us.
And or actually give us CPR if one of us goes out in the middle of trying to do it.
True.
I have to think Tyler can do this. How old are you, Tyler? 26?
27.
You're in good shape. Tyler. Do you work out?
I run.
How much do you bench press?
I don't bench. No. I probably haven't benched since high school.
I don't think Cap can do the run.
Run. The 50, the under
it's a, now he a walks, mile but, and a half. And it's not a very, like, a mile and a half in 15 minutes. You may be able to walk that briskly.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of surprising.
You should be able to walk a mile in what? Is it
12 minutes? 12 minutes?
I guess the question is, so you have to do all of these things, events in succession, right, Waddle? Probably. That would make sense.
It doesn't say that, but my you know what I'm guess saying? Like, would be yes.
Because it really is not a I think
you're going to give a little bit of time in between.
Yeah, sure. But
now, listen, some of the people that are going to apply for this, I mean, it's not like you're going to be an Army Ranger, for Christ's sake. There are plenty of middle-aged Secret Service agents and CIA agents. We're not sending you into battle.
All right, so we've
got to do it.